Dr. Rick Higemeister has been an important resource to our CME group for many years in monitoring clinical research developments in non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I met with Dr. Higemeister shortly after this year's ASCO meeting for a realistic and concise perspective on new data sets that have recently emerged in the field, and specifically what these new data mean to docs in practice. Rick began by painting the big picture.
The emphasis on targeted agents has really been the biggest issue, I think. There's no doubt about it. We've been moving in that direction for a number of years following the monoclonal antibodies and all the new monoclonal antibodies that are coming along. But there's really been only one new drug, and that was bendamustine that was approved for CLL. It may gain additional approval in other lymphomas, particularly follicular lymphomas. I'm thinking it will, based on a study that was completed in the U.S. But more interesting is the lenalidomide story, the Velcade studies that are being done, as well as the monoclonal antibodies. Also, the failure of the vaccines. That's a big negative, I think. And it was something that was really, I mean, two companies went bust. But that drug also bit the dust. So two vaccine trials have become negative. And that's not good, you know. We still got one out. But whether it's going to turn out to be positive or not, the trial's still ongoing. Whether it's going to end up being important or not is unknown. Then the failure of the radioimmunotherapy has left a lot of stuff wide open about what's going on. Zevalin and Bex are still not used very much in the U.S.
When you say the failure, what do you mean?
They're just not easy to administer. It's not that the trials were negative. The trials were positive with radioimmunotherapy. But because of the expense, they're not even being used in Europe, even though they were approved by EMEA and the FIT trial was positive from last ASH, you know, as a consolidation for follicular lymphomas. Still, how it's going to fit in with rituximab is just not clear. So I think the real issue or the real new things are really lenalidomide, where it's going to fit, Velcade or bortezomib, and monoclonal antibodies, which are all being tested differently. The deal with monoclonal antibodies is also really interesting in that they're all being studied in different ways, some in combination with chemo, like epertuzumab in combination with R-CHOP, which is different. The ofatumumab, which is being studied as an anti-CD20, which is different than rituximab and is being studied in rituximab-resistant patients. Then ocrelizumab, which is another one, which is sponsored by Genentech. They're looking to hope that it's a super rituxan. So there's all kinds of different ways that antibodies are being brought into trials, and that's also interesting to me because there's not one standard format that's being used. So there's a lot of interesting stuff going on, and there are active trials all over everywhere. There's also this business with HDAC inhibitors, temsirolimus, you know, the mTOR inhibitors, which are also looking positive in not only mantle cell, but also at ASCO this year. There was a whole deal with the temsirolimus in lymphomas other than cyclin D1 positive lymphomas. So it has lots of effects other than just the cyclin D1 pathway. So there's some really interesting new drugs. Then there's this business with frontline diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. That's the German studies. They keep doing these interesting trials of R-CHOP-14 and now this dose denser with R-CHOP-14, which is a dense rituximab based therapy. Really interesting stuff and how it's going to pan out and whether it's going to be better, of course, than just regular R-CHOP-21 is anybody's guess.